Hello and welcome to the podcast series called Behind the Athlete. My name is Raf Agostino and I have the privilege of working at School Sport Victoria. You might have noticed that we're really excited by the athletes that have come through our Team Vic pathway, the athletes we're calling Team Vic alumni. These athletes have gone on to be elite athletes and even wear the green and gold and represent their country and become an Olympian. We're pretty excited by that. So we knew there were life lessons to be learned by talking to not just the athletes, but the people who are support staff and have played a significant role in these athletes becoming who they are. So enjoy this short podcast series called Behind the Athletes as we dive into the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, as we talk to parents, coaches, teachers, principals, anyone who's had a significant part in these Team Vic alumni athletes becoming elite athletes and Olympians. We're really excited and we hope you get lots of lessons out of this short series. Enjoy.
Did you know? School Sport Victoria offers 650,000 sporting opportunities in 31 different sports. At 10,700 events across the state, every single year. That's a lot of kids playing sport. And for over 25 years, the Victorian School Sports Awards have recognised more than 1,500 students, teachers and volunteers for excellence and outstanding contribution to school sport. Now that's a champion effort.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Behind the Athlete podcast. And today I'm joined by the very lovely Brian and Karen Cordy, who is Zane Cordy's mother and father. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Great.
Brilliant. Thanks heaps for joining us today and congratulations on your boy making a grand final. You must be super excited and this week must be upon you.
Well, yeah, it's super exciting because he's played in one and become a premiership player at 19. We never expected him to get in another one, I guess. Yeah.
So it's in 2000 that you're talking about 2016, obviously, back in 2016, yeah. Which is, I mean, it's amazing in itself for athletes to make their dream of being an AFL player. And now your boy is going to be a two-time premiership player. That's amazing in itself.
Well, maybe.
He's a two-time premiership player.
Well, he'll be a player. He may not be a winner, but he'll be a player for sure.
Well, he's the only one of those boys that's playing in the second one, I guess. So, he'd only played 11 games in the first one, so we would never have expected that one. Yeah.
I didn't realise that he's the only player listed to play in both of them. That's what you just said, right?
No, the only one of that under 12 team, the only four. Sorry. There was four boys.
Yeah, we had Christian Petracca, Clayton Oliver, Bailey Dale and Zane are the four who played in the under 12 together.
Right, gotcha. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant stuff. So, look, just going back to, you know, he came through the Team Vic program. He went to Our Lady of Our Lady Star of the Sea and Ocean Grove as a primary school. He went to Geelong College as a high school. And then in 2008 and 2011, he made Team Vic teams, 12 years and under, 2008, 15 years and under, 2011. Regarding that journey, at what point did you think, you know what, maybe this young man one day will make an AFL draft?
I think it was probably when he was around 15 or 16, after he had his second run with the Vic team and then was playing with the representative sides in Geelong Falcons. And at the same time, when he was 15, 16, his brother Ace was on the list at the Western Bulldogs. So we had a pretty close relationship with me being an ex-player, and they were pretty keen on looking at Zane for the draft in a couple of years' time. So he knew pretty fair way out that he was a good chance to be drafted.
And it must have been, a bit of a dream for you, being that you are a former AFL player. Is that right?
Yep, at the Bulldogs, yes.
And now you've got not only one son, but two sons who have gone through and played in the team. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. You know, I have two of them there and having been there myself and my brothers as well. So there's been five Cordies who've played there. So it's very exciting and to have him back in a grand final is very special for the whole family.
Brilliant stuff. Now, I guess just looking back on that in terms of, you know, him playing sport around that time, what if there were parents that were listening in thinking to themselves, I think I've got the next AFL draft with me as a 15-year-old too, what advice would you give to those parents?
Well, my advice won't be probably similar to a lot of people because Brian was a player and I went through 9 knee ops with him. So my children never played football. They weren't allowed to play footy. They played every other sport, cross country, nippers, athletics, tennis, basketball. They did the lot, hoping they wouldn't play football. So we tried everything just to give them a broader experience, and we weren't in fact they weren't allowed to play football to year 7, so we never really gave them the opportunity. And then they both made us the state team at grade 6, so we sort of lost out there. But it wouldn't have mattered what sport, because as they got through secondary, it was always school comes first and sport will look after itself, basically, you know. And just have fun. Anything you do, have fun. Otherwise, well, Zane was a gun little runner and athlete, but he didn't like it near the end and he just dropped out of it because, you know, no fun doing it if no point doing it if you don't have fun. And so I would just say to parents, let them choose, let them, and don't push them. I mean, it wasn't our career. Brian had his career. It was the kids. So, you know, if they got drafted, they did have our boys had a bit of a step up. They were father and son, but it doesn't mean you're going to get drafted. It just means Bulldogs had first choice because they were father and son. So,
right. Yeah. I learned of that in the interview the other day, actually, the whole father and son clause where, you know, that sort of gives the club the opportunity to choose that athlete. I guess what you're saying then is you were trying to steer him away. Injuries were, you know, a big part in your experience, a big part of AFL. So you were trying to move away from that. It is important though that kids try lots of sports as they grow. You mentioned a number of sports they played. Obviously that had a factor, did it, in terms of him playing sport?
Yeah. I would say that having the breadth of different sports was great for them. Yeah. The team aspect of basketball, the physical benefits you get from doing athletics, all of those things help. And just for the kids who have been pretty successful at a young age, they learn to lose too because they're not going to be the best in everything they try out. And 90% of particularly high-level sports is losses rather than victories. And you've got to be able to deal with that. And as a young age, lots of different sports, lots of chances to get beaten, I think is really good for them.
Plus, they grew up in the country. They grew up in a surfing town, so they spent all their life in the water. They were squad swimmers by the time they were grade 6. You know, you just spread it all out. We just gave them, and then they just chose their own path, really.
Which is, I mean, very important that they choose their own path. Was that hard, though, Brian, as a former AFL player, was it hard to not steer the boys in the direction of AFL, or how did that go for you?
Really tried not to steer them in direction of anything. The AFL just sort of, I think it's like many things, like when you go to school and you're either good at maths or you're good at English, the boys found that once they started playing the game, they were quite good at it. And at a junior level, they were able to compete really well and they got success. And once you get success, you want to keep being involved in that. So we didn't push them into football. I think football might have chose them. Genetics might have helped a little bit.
Yeah, and obviously.
For instance, Ace was six foot eight now, but he was a gun basketball and we tried to get him to go to America to play basketball. In fact, when he played the Vic Sport under 18 basketball in Cairns, and whilst he was up there, he got a call from the AIS or the football to say he was in the AIS footy squad, you know. So, like, and same with Zane. He was doing four or five days a week doing tennis in his last year of school still, you know. So it wasn't just – they weren't just focused on football, you know. So, and like Brian said, they didn't win everything and we just let them go.
And it's, you know, what Brian's talked about is a natural talent as well. And obviously growing up with Dad and seeing you on the big stage as well would have been a factor in that. What you've just talked about in terms of basketball, that was that around the same time that Ben Simmons was also going through the basketball, going through AFL, and he made some choices?
A bit earlier.
Yeah, okay. A bit earlier. Ace was a bit earlier.
Jack Watts was the same time.
Yeah, Jack Watts went through with Ace in basketball, and right. Zane and I went to Cairns, but Zane was only like 12. He's 6 years younger than Ace. Mm-hmm. So, Ben Simmons is a bit under Ace. Ace wasn't as good as Ben Simmons.
Well, I mean, Ben Simmons is a bit of a freak show, though, when you think about it. He too talks about having a choice. Could have gone to AFL, decided on NBA. Petrarca could have gone to NBA, decided on AFL. So it's, you know, each to their own, I guess, and they really need to enjoy it. And you talked about the enjoyment factor there, Brian. Did you have to do anything, or what did you do to foster enjoyment within the sport for Zane and for Ace?
For me, it's just the joy of playing and not to focus on winning and losing, not to focus on winning premierships or being the best player on the ground or whatever it might be, to really involve yourself in the team and be part of the team and enjoy that social interaction you're getting of being part of a good team against with good players and playing against good players, which is, I think that's where the joy of all sports comes from. It's that social interaction.
That's why Zane, in particular Zane, I don't know about, I can't remember Ace, but Zane, good little athlete, good little cross country, wanted him to keep playing tennis, but it was all individual and he just loved the team aspect. Yeah, so, you know, they're not individual kids. They really like team sport. I mean, you know, Ace is still playing and Ace loves it. And so, yeah, I think it is good for them, team sport.
Well, it definitely is.
Yeah, you get a bit self-centred if it's an individual sport, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, a bit like what you talked about before with athletics being a really good thing for that, you know, running, jumping, the fundamental motor skills is important, but the team aspect within basketball, within football, within other team sports is pretty important. And I think what you just mentioned too, it's the team that gets them through because they have a friendship and a camaraderie that comes from that team aspect. They can celebrate together and also go through the lows together as well.
Yeah, we didn't, I mean, you don't see that much more than we saw in 2016 with Zane standing up there celebrating an AFL grand final. We're just like shaking our heads, you know. So, yeah, you know, he's kicked the first goal in the grand final too, and all his mates from school all had money. I'm sorry, the first Bulldog goal. They had money on him apparently. We didn't know any of this, you know, like, but, yeah, you find out stories afterwards. And because you come from a small town, everyone knows and everyone's barrack, and you'd be the same as Clayton Oliver in Echuca, and, you know, it just becomes part of the community.
The country boys have really shone. Well, look, you've been around the football scene for a lot longer than I have, but in my mind, the last week, the country boys have really shone. Like Ollie Wines has come out. He's a country boy. Obviously, you've mentioned Clayton Oliver, country boy as well. It's really good to see country boys and girls getting a fair go at having a shot at these kinds of events as well. How did you got two boys that you've mentioned others as well, but you got two, Zane and Ace, obviously high achievers in sport. How did you manage as a parent and balance the achievements and the attention as they were winning?
I don't think we were particularly tough on them, but I mentioned before about giving the opportunity to lose. And, you know, when they're winning, it's great to take the accolades and to be humble and gracious when you have success. And I think we spent a fair bit of time emphasising that about winning and losing, and how you win and lose is really, really important. That when you have a good day and you're the one who finishes in front at the end of the day, to be humble in your victory. And then gracious in defeat, when someone beats you on a particular day, that you are gracious in that. And when they're getting attention for a lot of success, I think it's always nice that you have the odd downtime in there as part of it. All great teams, all great athletes have learnt a lot from their losses, and I think that's really important.
Yeah.
They also, one of the kids, I'm pretty sure it was Zane, he played in the Falcons, and I'll never forget this day. They were getting beaten and this kid in the was on Zane and he was just giving Zane a mouthful and because yeah, they were winning and he was running around and, you know, right in his face and he was just like, oh, this is ridiculous. Well, the Falcons came around and they turned around and won it. And I watched Zane's face and all he did was he walked up to the boy and just shook his hand and he didn't say anything else and he just walked away. And I thought, he's learned a lesson from that. He even came up and talked about it at the end that this guy carried on like a real loser and then it backflipped, you know. And Zane could have gone up there and done similar and likewise, but I was really proud that he just shook his hand and just walked away. Yeah, so... You know, what comes around, what goes around comes around, and the children were just taught to just, you know, be humble, be gracious, and you'll get a lot further in life if you do that than the other way.
And I think, you know, what you're talking about there is an attitude within, it's very easy to be humble in a win, but it's very difficult to be humble when you're losing, when there's that humility that comes with it. And I think that attitude is really important. And personally, I think it comes from parents. So I can ask you this because you've just painted a picture around their humility. How much of this was something that you instilled into them from a young age?
Oh, I think it's...
Everything we instilled into them. It wasn't anything about winning or losing. It was being about a good person in life, in sport. And we're teachers, PE teachers. So, you know, it wasn't hard to pick out some kids that weren't getting that at home.
And young athletes can really get self-absorbed with success, and being self-absorbed makes it very, very difficult for them to achieve later on in life. If they're really struggling as a teenager and everything's about their winning and losing and everything's about their performance, when they start to hit a few obstacles, they really struggle. And I noticed that a lot as a teacher in boys and girls schools.
So I guess as teachers then, what advice would you give to teachers listening in who need to manage the Zanes and the Aces of this world in a sense? Because, you know, generally speaking, I know your boys have gone to Geelong College, but generally speaking, they're very active boys. Boys can be very active and sometimes hard to manage, and I know I'm talking to teachers here. What advice would you give to teachers to manage those highly active boys?
Oh, no doubt about keep them active, keep them mentally stimulated. But I just really felt over the years that trying to keep them be less self-absorbed and more think about their activity and stuff, to be thinking about the other people around them, what impact their behaviours having on them, on their friends and their peers and other people they're associated with, rather than how it affects them all the time.
Yeah, I think you just got to keep them grounded. Brian coached the Geelong Falcons under 18 for 10 years or so. And some great players came out of that. But from what I saw, the Falcons, they just want to keep the, what are they called? The TAC Cup. They want to keep kids on level board and keep it, you know, play it down a little bit. Because otherwise some kids can just get carried away. And if they're getting that from home, you find that as teachers. If they're getting all this, you know, build up, you're going to be a great athlete, or you're going to be this. Well, the kids start believing it, and then some of them can take it on board. Well, I'm a little bit better than you, or I should be picked in that team because I'm better than you, you know, and my dad says or whatever. Well, the kids have to learn, well, it's not always like that, you know. You can be picked on, you know, you could have been in the Victorian team last year, but you may not be in the school team this year because of your attitude, you know what I'm saying? So it's just more about life. We didn't focus on sport so much. It was just you want to be a good person on the sporting field, in the classroom, so that you turn into a good person, you know? So,
yeah, which is great advice, I think. You know, that, and that leads me to, there's only a couple of questions left, but that leads me to the next one. I guess as parents, but maybe so with teachers, how did you keep the boundaries between being a parent to the boys and let the coaches do the coach thing? Because, Brian, you've just talked about coaching for 10 years, playing for a number of years, so you would know your stuff. Both of you would know your stuff when it comes to coaching. So how did you keep that boundary when, in a sense, coaches were making calls that you just didn't agree with?
I always found that really, really easy, and I always told the boys that simply that I'm a parent, your coach is your coach, and you always listen to the coach. I made a conscious point of never getting involved before, during or after games.
That's awesome.
And the kids could come to ask me, but the coaches were always the ones to judge, because having coached school sporting teams, elite TAC Cup teams and so on.
And senior teams. In fact, 30 years of it, right?
Yeah, but the thing about it was that one of the difficult things to coach with is to deal with a parent who's pushing their own child.
Yeah.
And I would never ever want to do that. So for us, that was the easy demarcation. The coach is in charge of the team. We're in charge of everything else outside that.
Mm.
And that's very true. And you would find, I'd imagine it would be difficult to deal with a parent who's pushing their own agenda, both as a teacher and also a parent looking on as well. Would that be accurate?
Yes. Yeah, it's difficult to cope with. Having been a player and being involved at reasonably high level, I really understood the role of coaching and the demarcation between a parent and the coach.
Yeah.
And it was very clear in my mind that there was no crossover. And sometimes it's difficult for parents to work out that there is no crossover between them and the coaching staff. They're there as the parent, the coach is in charge of the team. And if you disagree, there's forums, you know, outside of games and stuff where you might want to have a chat about it, but certainly never in front of kids and never where you're trying to impose your will upon the coach.
And the same as school sport. I was director of sport at my school for 16 years. You know, you're picking school teams, there's 1,500 kids and you're picking three netball teams and stuff like that. You can get some really tough parents who just do not understand that my child didn't get in, but there is a reason. And, you know, you try and explain that it's difficult when you've got so many kids. And, it's just hard. I mean, we're a parent and we've got our own children, and it's just difficult with difficult parents, yeah. And I understand where they're coming from. They want their kid to be the best and get, you know, but sometimes they have to sort of take a backward step, yeah. So any teacher or coach would find that, I think. So we, as parents, we knew that. So, you know, if anything, I would believe the coach and the teachers over my child and just say, no, you know, step back. Yeah, so.
And it's a good learning curve as well, because, you know, what we're talking about here is a very minute group of people. The vast majority of parents are exceptional and want the best for their kid and take a step
back.
But it's those minor group of people that sometimes cause that. And in that group, often what we find anyway is that the child is actually embarrassed by the behaviour and embarrassed by the statements.
I was just going to say, often the children, absolutely. I was just going to say, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying these kids are bad kids, but they really do, some of them get a bit upset and a bit embarrassed because their parents are, you know, whatever they're saying or however they're interfering. And you feel for the child, because the kids are usually great kids, yeah. So, but anyway, I think everyone in schools and would have felt this at some time.
Well, I mean, it leads us on to the last question. Obviously, as educators, education's important, not just because Zane and Ace of, you know, are your children, you want the best for your children, but as teachers, you want the best for the kids as well. So how did you balance the importance of education and Zane and Ace having to train, you know, probably upwards of 15, 18 hours a week?
We can fight over this
one. Yeah, we can fight over this one. Because
is that because you differ? Do you differ? Is that what you mean?
Not at all.
No. Same opinion, but pretty strong on it.
Yeah, very strong. Extremely strong. Our kids train probably that or more with football and tennis and basketball and stuff. It was just always school comes first. Education comes first. They were on academic scholarships at Geelong College. Ace did biomedicine at Melbourne Uni playing AFL. Did get into medicine, but by the time he finished biomedicine, it was 9 years down the track and he couldn't be a full-time student. He needed some money. Wow. So he didn't go into medicine. But Zane's just finished a business degree this year. Basically, the reason why Brian played footy for 10 years, and it was wonderful, great, AFL, then that finishes. So what do you do? Well, he had a teaching degree, so he became a teacher. And the boys have always learnt, as opposed to some of their friends, doesn't matter, I'm just going to be an AFL footballer. Well, that's good, but you might have a 2-year career, a 6-year, and get delisted. You know what I'm saying? So education was first.
It always, if education was being impacted by the training or whatever, the training had to be scaled back. Wow. It was just always the one that it was, it was affecting your schooling. Schooling came first. And my theory always was that if you were good enough, you're going to get there anyway with your physical ability.
Yeah.
And then they'll train you. And then you'll get the best possible training people to develop your body and your skills and all those things.
But don't get us wrong. We didn't have to force the kids. Ace was a really high achiever. We've got a son who's a anaesthetist, our eldest son. Right. So they're high achievers.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have to, you know, chain them to their desks or anything. It was just you do your work, you get your education. And like Brian said, footy will look after itself or basketball will look after itself. If you can't do anything about it, you just wait till see what comes along there, you know. Mm. So, and that helped them at school because a lot of their friends may not have had that attitude. And so their teachers thought, well, this is a good mix. Like some kids who like studying and like doing sport, you know. But yeah, and I think they come out a bit at the end, they've got something. It's very hard on kids who come out the end of any elite sports program and don't have anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Brian, did you have the teaching degree before you went into football? Did you? You finished
that? Back in the 1980s when I played a long, long time ago, it was still part-time. So I was a full-time teacher and a footballer on weekends and afterwards. So it wasn't full-time football till the 90s when we had the AFL. I was at the last of the VFL.
Gotcha. Okay. That sounds really interesting because you're right. You know, there's hopefully, Zane's had a pretty great career. Ace has had a pretty great career. Hopefully Zane will have many years left, but there is always life after footy. So they do need a plan B. And
I used to call it plan A. Plan A. Because even if you have a great career and you play 10 years and 200 plus games, you've still got 30 years of your working life to 40 years to come after that. And that's where your plan should be. So even like Dane, we're so rapt that he's playing in a grand final on the weekend, but I'm just excited that he's finished his business degree and he can start to really plan for his post-football career whenever that might be.
That's awesome.
It was funny, because actually Zane said that during the year because he just finished a couple of months ago. And when we're talking to him, we haven't seen him for months and months, 4 months. And anyway, he got on the phone and he says, guess what? I'm like, what? Oh, he was in, I don't know, Brisbane or somewhere. I go, what's happened? And he goes, I finished my degree. I just finished it last night. He was that excited. And I'm like, awesome. Well, see, it is worth being away for a couple of years, you know. So that was really exciting because just the way he said it and, it just takes a bit of pressure off because they've got something behind them when they finish. And like your Ace could have had a great career, but he got a first-round draft pick but three shoulder reconstructions, broken back, broken leg, broken hand, you know what I'm saying? And that can all happen and your dream can just go. So, he fulfilled his dream, but he couldn't. It was just injury spoiled it, probably. Yeah. So, and then Zane, you know, who would have thought that little skinny Zane would have got into two grand finals? So, you just don't know. You just don't know.
Well, pretty exciting for you guys. And I'm like, you know, it's been a massive week. You must pinch, I mean, I don't know, but you must pinch yourselves when you stand back and go, my gosh, we've got a boy who's an anaesthetist. We've got a biomedical science boy, a young man who's finished a degree as well, two playing at the three now Western Bulldogs players, premiership player. You must sit back going, oh my gosh, do you ever find yourself?
Remember, we just had a baby 2 days ago, too.
I didn't want to mention that. I didn't want to mention that just in case you didn't want to, but you're right. Ace has had his first child named Jack, and Jack was born 5 a.m. on Wednesday, I think.
We found out Wednesday night that Zane was playing in the grand final. So it was pretty exciting day for us.
Well, I'm surprised Jack's not called grand final because that was a big day.
Oh no, and with the lockdowns we actually get a chance to go and visit Jack soon, so it'll be good. I'll be looking forward to it.
So we're looking forward to seeing all our boys, it'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, good luck on Saturday. Go the Doggies. I'm sure they're going to play fantastically. Whatever happens, I'm sure you're going to be glued to the screen and cheering like crazy, like we all are in Melbourne. And we're really excited for you. And we just thank you for your time.
Yeah, we'll be proud no matter what happens. Yeah, we're glad he's got there. Yeah. And thank you.
No worries. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Bye.